Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're on chapter 48 of the book of Genesis right now. And let's all go up to the throne to ask the Lord to fuse this into our spirits. Father, we thank and praise your holy name for the reproof of your word. For we know that if we read your word every day and meditate upon it, that we're going to stand. And we're going to be able to stand until the day that you take us up, where our spirits depart from our bodies, and we are reunited at the end on the last day with our bodies. New bodies, completely new, young, and forever young. No sickness, disease, infirmities, no pain, no sorrow, and happiness forevermore. Lord, but what a tragedy for people who are not aware of these things and are not concerned enough about their souls to continue reading the Word on a daily basis. And your Word teaches us that we're to take up the cross daily, to deny ourselves, to live a life of self-denial, and follow you as you did. This is the only way to heaven, to be obedient to everything our Father and you and the Holy Spirit, which are all one, tell us to do. Lord, let these words and everything that is said here fuse into our spirits, into the mind of our spirits, in the name of Jesus, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord, let's go.
Genesis chapter 48, King James Version, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob, and said, Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself, and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz, in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and I will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession.
This he said to Abraham seven times. Isaac, he said it to him twice, and now he said it to Jacob, or Israel, three times. Amen?
Amen.
So that's 12 times, the perfect number of the Lord, 12. All right, then that's a covenant. He keeps telling us that he has this covenant with all of us, they keep his commandments, that we're going to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. All right? And we're going to be in the most in bliss forever. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
Keep going here.
Mm-hmm.
And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt, before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance.
Right after I die, every son or daughter that you have will be yours. But while you're alive, all my children's children belong to me. After I die, then everyone that's born after that is yours. That's what he's saying. Okay, let's go into this commentary.
Commentary verses 1 through 6. Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim. One day, not long after this, word came to Joseph that his father was failing rapidly. So Joseph went to visit him, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Jacob heard that Joseph had arrived, he gathered his strength and sat up in bed. Jacob said to Joseph, quote, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, quote, I will make you a multitude of nations, and I will give this land of Canaan to you and your descendants as an everlasting possession. Now I am adopting as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will inherit from me just as Reuben and Simeon will. But the children born to you in the future will be your own. The land they will inherit will be within the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh. King James Version, verse 7. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephrath. And I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons, and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Commentary verses 7 through 9. As I was returning from Padan, Rachel died in the land of Canaan. We were still on the way, just a short distance from Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So with great sorrow I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath. Then Jacob looked over at the two boys. Quote, Are these your sons? He asked. Quote, Yes, Joseph told him. These are the sons that God has given to me here in Egypt. And Jacob said, quote, Bring them over to me, and I will bless them. King James Version, verse 10. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them, and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand, and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly. For Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph, and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth.
At this time, these two boys were teenagers. All right. Then what?
Commentary verses 10 through 16. Now Jacob was half blind because of his age and could hardly see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed and embraced them. Then Jacob said to Joseph, quote, I never thought I would see you again, but now God has let me see your children as well. Joseph took the boys from their grandfather's knees, and he bowed low to him. Then positioned the boys so Ephraim was at Jacob's left hand, and Manasseh was at his right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. So his right hand was on the head of Ephraim, the younger boy, and his left hand was on the head of Manasseh, the older boy. Then he blessed Joseph and said, quote, May God, the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life, and the angel who has kept me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May he preserve my name and the names of my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac, and may they become a mighty nation. King James Version, verse 17. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto his father, Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. Commentary verses 17 through 19. But Joseph was upset when he saw that his father had laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, so he lifted it to place it on Manasseh's head instead. Quote, No, father, he said, this one over here is older. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused. Quote, I know what I'm doing, my son, he said. Manasseh too will become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater. His descendants will become a multitude of nations! Exclamation point. King James Version, verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. Commentary, verses 20 through 22. So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing, quote, The people of Israel will use your names to bless each other. They will say, quote, May God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh. In this way Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Then Jacob said to Joseph, quote, I am about to die, but God will be with you, and will bring you again to Canaan, the land of your ancestors. And I give you an extra portion beyond what I have given your brothers, the portion that I took from the Amorites with my sword and bow.
All right, that was the last verse, verse 22 of the book of Genesis, chapter 48. And now we have some commentary.
48:5-6. Quote, Now I am adopting as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will inherit from me just as Reuben and Simeon will. But the children born to you in the future will be your own. The land they will inherit will be within the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh. Jacob claimed the perpetuation of his own name, but not through his son Joseph, but through his two grandsons. He then stated that his grandsons in turn would father entire tribes in their own names. Thus, by Jacob's dying decree, the house of Joseph was to be split into two tribes.
So they actually call them, most theologians and students call them the two half-tribes, right? Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, and what?
48:8. Quote, Then Jacob looked over at the two boys. Are these your sons? He asked. Israel or Jacob is likely aware, or he saw the presence of Joseph's sons, and yet was not fully able to recognize them because of his poor eyesight.
In other words, when I say Israel and Jacob, that's the same person. God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and that's where the land of Israel, that's who the name of Israel was named after, okay? So go ahead and start that again.
Israel or Jacob is likely aware, or he saw the presence of Joseph's sons, and yet was not fully able to recognize them because of his poor eyesight. Verse 10. But he had the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit led him to lay the right hand on the younger rather than on the older.
Right, so you really don't have to see that good if you have the Holy Spirit as your guide. Amen?
Amen.
You might not be able to see what's going on 10,000 miles from here, but the Lord can tell you. Amen?
Amen.
You might not even know what's going on in the next room, but the Lord knows. Amen?
Amen.
You might not even know what's happening behind your back in the same room, but the Lord knows, and He can tell you. Amen?
Amen.
And He does tell you. All right, then what?
48:9. Quote, Yes, Joseph told him, these are the sons that God has given to me here in Egypt. And Jacob said, Bring them over to me, and I will bless them. Quote, He blessed them, unquote. To affirm God's will for them over that of the first, you can see chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Quote, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. To affirm God's will for them over that of the first, you can see chapter 12, verses 1 through 9 on that, and chapter 48, verse 10. Quote, Now Jacob was half blind because of his age and could hardly see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed and embraced them. He kissed or embraced them. An intricate part of blessing is physical affirmation, like a hug, or it's the same as like a kiss.
When you say you kissed him, that means a hug, all right? Because a lot of these churches don't know what the Bible really means, and they actually kiss. The men kiss the women, and the women the men, and they kiss each other, and it's unscriptural. You know, you're supposed to shun the very appearance of evil. And, you know, a man and a man can... Or just even a salutation is like a holy kiss. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, brother. You know, that's same thing. Okay, then what?
48, verse 13. Quote, Then positioned the boys, so Ephraim was at Jacob's left hand, and Manasseh was at his right hand. Joseph thought positioning them according to the tradition pattern of blessing. In other words, the right hand on the eldest, and the left hand on the younger. 48, verse 14. Quote, But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. So his right hand was on the head of Ephraim, the younger boy, and his left hand was on the head of Manasseh, the older boy. His right hand was the hand with the greater anointing and blessing, used to bless the firstborn. Jacob was crossing his hands to bless the secondborn. This again affirmed God's sovereignty and power or grace. A blessing is based on God's power, His grace, not because of one's merit. You can check that out through Romans 9, 6 through 13. Quote, Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, The elder shall serve the younger.
All right, so there isn't any merit there regarding Isaac or Jacob. The Lord just prophesied that that was going, told him that that was going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
And he knew their hearts and knew what they would do also, and that they would be faithful to him and serve him. And so, because he knows the end of a thing at the same time that he knows the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
And so, there's no problem. It doesn't mean that they merited anything to be chosen, but God chose them because he knew that they would merit it. Amen?
Amen.
That's kind of strange, right? He knows that they would do what he wants. And so, therefore, they were called, though, before they did any meriting of it. They didn't do anything to be chosen. And really, we didn't do anything either. Somehow, we got saved. Amen?
Amen.
And we need to know these things, and then we have to start following the Lord. Take up the cross, deny ourselves daily, and then follow Him. And then He knows whether we'll do that or not. And if we do, everything's going to be just fine. Amen?
Amen.
Eternally fine. Better than fine. Magnificent. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I just can't believe that, some people say. God is a good God. Amen?
Amen.
And He's also a terrible God to those that don't believe Him. You're saved by faith, and by doubt, you're damned. Okay? So just do what He says. Doesn't take any bigger brains than that. Amen?
Amen.
Just do what He says. Just follow. And if you follow, you can lead. You can be a good leader. But if you can't be a good follower, you'll never be a leader. You'll lead people into the ditch. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Right. That was already going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
And they both did it themselves. They did what the Lord knew they were going to do. I mean, if I'm starving to death and somebody says, I say, give me some of that bean soup or lentil soup, or red pottage, whatever you want to call it. They says, I'll give it to you if you'll give me your blessing, if you'll give me your place in God. I'll starve to death first. Now, what kind of a Christian are you? Give me the soup, okay? I'm not going to give you anything. Now, you as a Christian, if you're a Christian, you have to give me the bowl of soup. Just give it to me. I'm not giving you my blessing. What kind of a con artist are you? Well, that's what you do, that's all. That's what you do. Amen?
Amen.
And is that so hard to do?
No.
Well, we just don't want to offend Him, so we'll tell Him, okay, you can have my birthright, Satan. Amen? Just give me the soup now, will you please? God hates people like that, all right? With a perfect hatred, amen?
Amen.
I'd have stopped him dead in his tracks if Jacob tried to pull that on me. No way. I know your name's not Jose, but it's no way anyway. No way, Red. Or Red would say, no way, Jacob. Okay, then what else?
48, verse 16, quote, and the angel who has kept me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May he preserve my name and the names of my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac, and may they become a mighty nation.
May they preserve my name and my father's my grandfather's name, Abraham, and my father's name, Isaac. Amen?
Amen.
So remember me. Meditate on the things that God did through Abraham and Isaac and myself. These things are not just happenstance. These people did what the Lord said. And remember that, because they are blessed in the eyes of the Lord. And if you want to be blessed also, you must do what the Lord tells us you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Tells us all to do. Then what?
The two boys, Manasseh and Ephraim, were likely teenagers at that time. 48, verse 17. Quote, but Joseph was upset when he saw that his father had laid his right hand on Ephraim's head, so he lifted it to place it on Manasseh's head instead. The sovereign breaking of tradition, in other words, God's will of breaking this tradition in this way, was the thing that displeased Joseph.
Right, it was the will of the Lord. The Holy Spirit led his right hand onto the right person, the younger. Amen?
Amen.
And it just really upset Joseph. Okay, then what?
48, verse 20. So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing. Quote, the people of Israel will use your names to bless each other. They will say, quote, may God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh. In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Saying it establishes this very important verse as a blessing that God intends to be literally perpetuated much as the priesthood of Aaron blessing in Numbers 6:23.
Right, saying it does that. People in the Old Testament really honored, you know, when words came out of them, that meant something. And that's what it has to mean today. You say something, and that's what it means. Okay, then what?
Numbers 6:23, quote, "Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them."
Read the next verse.
"The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
Keep going.
The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them."
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of idle words that are said that don't mean anything, but when it's a blessing, where you're blessing somebody at your deathbed, those words are heavy, very weighty. Okay, then what else? They mean, or if you're saying, "Thus saith the Lord," you better not be saying that unless the Lord does say that. All right, then what?
And the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11:2. Quote, "And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven."
Yeah, he doesn't want to say, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." He wants us to know that we're sons. So he has us praying, "Oh, our Father." That's closeness, amen?
Amen.
If you don't believe he's your Father, then you're probably miserable all day long, for sure. But he's your Father. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Okay, then what?
"When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." The importance of the blessing lies in the meanings of the names Ephraim and Manasseh. You can check this out in Genesis 41:51-52. Quote, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." By soul blessing, one is asking God to cause one's negative past to be forgotten and his future to be fulfilled.
God has made me forget all my troubles. Before I was saved, everything was just like a sea just tossing to and fro. There was no peace in my life, and I was very bitter. But God has made me forget all my troubles. He crashed down upon me when I never even believed in him. And then the next time he did, he made me know he existed, and then after around a few months or a year, I didn't time it, but he showed me heaven and hell and showed me and convicted me tremendously, and I cried out to him and I got saved. And I was happy. It was the first time I've ever really been happy in my entire life. And I was so happy, and I'm not a weeper at all, but tears were flowing out of my eyes of joy. And that was just, it was just the most incredible thing, because I couldn't believe it. I thought that I was bleeding to death because there was so much water coming out of my eyes. I thought it was blood. But I looked at my hands when I'd wipe the tears, and it was just, I was incredibly happy. And it just broke through all the bitterness and all the troubles and trials and tribulations that I'd gone through up to that point, and I was around 30 years old, and I was happy. And I was set free. Amen?
Amen.
Set free from it. It just felt like a huge boulder, at least a mile big, a mile long and a mile thick, was strapped onto my back, and it just flew away. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, anyway, that was chapter 48 of the book of Genesis, and we'll be doing chapter 49 tomorrow, God willing. And possibly, and then the next day, chapter 50. And that'll conclude the book of Genesis. Until then, keep concentrating on the Lord. Think about him. and think about all the things that you've learned in the book of Genesis and apply it to your lives. And as the Lord said in the book of Psalms, meditate on him both day and night. Think about him, that means. And you'll be like strong, powerful trees planted by the water. Till then, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.